Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck romping with you today with my good buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again.
Here we are around the virtual kitchen table. And where are you?
We are here in Durham, North Carolina. Yeah. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. And we're in an overcast day here in Overland Park, Kansas. So share about yourselves, guys.
So we have the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening, which is an online website. We just invite you to come and visit. You can go there from yourspiritualpractice.com. That's the easy way to get there. And we have tons and tons of resources for you.
Lots of free resources, and there's some really good things you can purchase too. Let's just be blatant here.
For people who are consider themselves more spiritual than religious.
Yes, it's a spiritual philosophy website, we could say, right?
Yes.
So I'm Paul Hasselbeck, and I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the Absolute Word, which we put at the end of every program, my calendar, and a few other things. And I am planning new things for the near future, so we'll see how that flows out. And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
Absolutely. And so we're continuing our program, and we have two segments. The first segment is we've been looking at and diving into spiritual law last couple of programs. And today we're going to continue our deep dive into what Charles referred to as the law of God or God's law. There's a lot of rich material here, so there's no need to rush. And then in the second segment, we're going to be diving into Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. Of course, this is always Cher's choice, and we'll let you know what we're doing when we get there. And then at the end of the second segment, we'll be doing the Absolute Word. So are you guys ready to romp?
We are ready.
Okay, so we're looking at law of God or God's law, and I think I mostly have here a law of God. And Cher, you're going to start reading?
I am, and we're looking at Charles Fillmore again, but this time it's from Mysteries of Genesis, which is a book that is not as well known, I don't think, as some of his other books, but it's a very interesting one. And in this he says, to hallow the seventh day is to rest in the stillness, quiet, and peace of the silence of mind. Be still and know that I am God. To hallow means to keep holy. Holiness is resting in the conviction that there is no lack in the absolute law that is the law of God. One creates first in mind by idealizing the desired object, and then resting in the assurance that the law of manifestation is being fulfilled. God has finished creating his universe, including man, and is resting in his perfect idea. God rested on the seventh day.
Oh, we are going to have some fun with this. And this is going to be really, for me, a clarifying thing. Thank goodness I've read a lot of Fillmore, and so have you. And I think we can make this understandable. So the beginning is basically just a setup, right? And that whole idea, the holiness is resting in the conviction that there is no lack in the absolute law that is the law of God. There's no lack in that absolute realm that's unchanging. And it's made up of principle and law. And we've had a lot of programs on principle. This is looking at law. After that, he gets into the nitty-gritty, doesn't it? One creates first in mind, don't we?
It makes sense, sure.
Yeah, we create first in mind by idealizing the desired object. We get in mind thought, feeling, images. What is it we're desiring? What is it we want to manifest? And then resting in assurance that the law of manifestation is being filled, we know mind, idea, expression. We have an idea in mind. There is expression first inside, and then if we take action out in the outer world, we can also relate this to the law of mind action, can't we?
Right. I think it leaves out that sentence. I don't think he intentionally leaves it out. I think he assumes it's there. But you said it, action.
Action.
Because the way it's written kind of implies I think about it, and then I know it's going to appear.
And then it happens by magic. And to be completely forthcoming, Fillmore often skips over that internal step from which we have that arousal aspect of consciousness. Consciousness, awareness, and arousal. And then arousal part of our consciousness is what we use to move ourselves to action. This is not a passive spiritual philosophy.
And since we're diving deep, I just want to say from my perspective, when we get the idea first in mind, if you will, mind and brain are two different things. Mind is an unmanifest, more globalized consciousness, and the brain simply records what registers in the mind. And the brain is a more manifest recording of that, which brings it closer to becoming manifest, obviously.
Yeah.
Because first it's unmanifest, and then it manifests in the brain as a thought with the synapses and all that. And then hopefully we act on our thoughts and create something.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you stopped us there, Bill, because it's very important that we keep reminding listeners, and it's reminding ourselves, when we say mind, we don't mean the physical brain.
No.
And the best synonym we have for it is consciousness. And I don't know if that's the best synonym, but that's the ones we've been using. It's this whole idea of mind, idea, expression, and holding it in mind. Now, this next piece is the part that needs clarification.
Yeah,
I'm going to write you. Bill's laughing, right? This means fasten your seatbelt, listeners. God has finished creating his universe, okay? Now, that's very easy to think that Fillmore means the physical universe, okay? But many places, Charles referred that says God's universe is the spiritual universe. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual universe is made up of principles or divine ideas. And it's not that he finished it either, because he never started it. Right. So this
and there's no he to have done it.
And
anyway.
There's no he to have done it. So we could just boil that down to divine ideas or spiritual ideas simply are. They've always existed. And then he says, including man, which really what he's referring to there, including the divine idea that makes humankind possible, personality in our bodies. He's not talking about us as the idea that contains ideas and is resting in his perfect idea. The poor guy has to rest after all that work.
That's hard work.
So God's not resting because there isn't a God to rest. It's just simply God is these ideas or the idea that contains ideas. And there's no rest. There's been no work. And this is where we have a bifurcation, a fork in the road from Fillmore to how we're talking about it, right? We're talking about it very differently, that for us, there was no beginning, there is no creation as commonly understood. Go ahead, Cher.
And if we're going to interpret this, I would say, too, that the rest is simply resting from worry about it, that we are standing in the knowing that as we take action, it is happening and we don't have to waste energy on the worry.
Yeah, that's our rest. So, So we rest in the knowing, in the faith that if we hold an idea in mind, we will have an internal experience, and we also rest and have faith if we take action. Mm-hmm. Right? If we hold a thought in mind and never take action, all we have is the internal experience, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this is so, and we shouldn't be surprised, okay? I just reminded myself, we're talking about page 31 of Mysteries of Genesis, where Charles is metaphysically interpreting the creation stories found in Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Charles never really escaped the idea of God as creator and of creation, okay? We are. We're letting go of the idea of the creation story and that there's a beginning and an end. There simply is the ongoing, can I say it? The ongoing now?
That sounds good.
The ongoing now. Okay, so let's go to the next quote. I think we have time, okay. Don't we, before our break?
We can at least get started on it. The next quote comes from Jesus Christ Heals. And in this, Charles says, "It is the mind that makes the man, and the mind and the thoughts of the mind endure even though the body be dissolved. So let no man think that he can escape the creations of his mind by breaking the physical chains that bind him to the earth."
Why don't we stop there?
Wow. Yes.
Okay. It is the mind that makes the man. So that's just, in a way, that to me is simply saying life is consciousness.
Yeah, we're right. More than our body.
More than our body, right? And the mind or consciousness and the thoughts of the mind keep on, even though the body goes on. I mean, goes away, dissolved, right? Mm-hmm. So we're advocates of that we're not limited to our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. Right? And Bill, I know you have more to say about this. So let no man, let no person think that he or she can escape the creations of his mind by breaking the physical chains that bind him to the earth, that'd be breaking our bounds to our physical body, because our mind goes on, our consciousness goes on. And so even when we're not here in body, we're going to be dealing with the manifestations and the creations of our mind, aren't we?
Well, what's interesting is for people who didn't think that the Fillmore's talk about reincarnation, and that this certainly would seem like he might be talking about reincarnation.
Charles believed in reincarnation. He didn't like it much, but he knew that it existed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so this is probably a good time for us to pivot, you think?
We're getting close, yes.
Okay, that would be a great time. So why don't we do that? So we're going to pivot from this because we're going to have to come back and dig in this a little more anyway. This is our continuing deep dive into the law of God and mind idea expression. And we want to remind our listeners that they can always go to Bill and Cher's website where there's lots of materials and there's great stuff they can buy. And the new book is there, isn't it?
The new book is there and we have a brand new page for it. And it is at the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com /RUFF rough housing info page.
Yeah, so I've just started reading pieces of this book, folks, and it's classic Bill Holden. Classic Bill Holden. And I can't read more than one thing at a time because I think about it and reflect on it. So kudos to Bill, another wonderful book. And
Thank you. So
why don't we pivot now? And we're going to pivot to his other book, right?
Reverend Bill Unplugged. He's getting very unplugged in these books. We've got a series going here.
Well, you've left him unsupervised, okay?
Yes, yes. Some would question the wisdom of this, but we have done it.
I don't question it. So where are we going, Cher, in Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited?
We're going to flip over to page 176 for those who are following along with us in the book. And pull out the one called Spiritual Principles, because that seems to fit what we're talking about so well.
We're always talking about principles, so this is good. Let's see what Bill has to say.
Okay, here's what he says. Spiritual principles can never be weather vanes, spinning first this way and then that way, with the shifting winds of doubt, fear, materialistic whims, or expediency. Spiritual principles are compasses. They point toward your higher spiritual self.
Yeah, isn't that great? So you may have to fix me here, Bill. Good luck with that. But so
we've been trying to do that for years.
I know. So could we say spiritual principles are like the lodestone?
Well, yes, we could, of course.
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a great insight.
Wow.
Very true north.
Yeah. It's the true north. So our true north is our spiritual self. Cool. Okay.
Right. So here's a minister's take on spiritual principles and church leadership.
Oh, fasten your seatbelts.
So anybody involved in a church right now, perk up your ears.
Yep.
There's no sure way to be disliked by a church board than to honor the truth principles you teach when board members forget the truth principles they've learned.
Or never even learned, okay? We've been around this... we've been in this rodeo a long time.
Yes, we have.
And in this rodeo, in some places, ministers invite people who are on the boards that are new to the church, mm-hmm. because it's sometimes hard to get a warm body on your board.
In our philosophy, it's better to have an empty seat on your board than to have the wrong person there.
Absolutely. And when it comes to spiritual principles, you can you can please some of the people some of the time, and you can offend some of the people some of the time.
Yes, you can.
And you offend those when the principle gets in the way of what they want to do, right?
Yeah, and there's some board members that are confused by the facts.
Right. And let us say we're kind of getting running roughshod on board members. There are some boards and some board members that are really good. They're really solid. Okay,
yeah, so go ahead. Sometimes that sentence could probably be reversed.
Yes.
The board members, the minister has forgotten the principles and is not living by them.
Oh, so yes.
That too.
Oh, yes.
So it goes both ways. Okay. Another quote by Bill, a little snippet he put in here. Sharing truth principles is both opium and utopia for me.
Okay, Bill, you're going to have to riff on this.
Well, you get addicted to truth principles are evidence-based. Every time you use them, you will get the outcomes that the principle stands for. And in that sense, it's very much opium. It's something very much pleasing, something that relates to your soul growth. It's addictive. Yeah, I mean, you truly are on a high. So yep. That's the opium piece of it. Utopia, of course, are the truth principles that many people hope are true. And if they would simply use them and continue to use them and trusting in the truth principles, they will experience the utopia that they believe is there.
Yes. Yeah, so what I'm connecting this to is you might have found a good substitute word in our spiritual philosophy for heaven.
Huh.
Because
utopia?
Yeah, because heaven is a place far away in some spiritual traditions, a happy place where God lives. In unity, it's a higher state of consciousness. However, most of our followers come from traditional religion, so they have a hard time escaping the original meaning of heaven. True. But isn't this a utopia state of consciousness when we're realizing the truth?
True. Yeah, it's like an upper room.
Yeah, it is the upper room, we could say. That's really good. The upper room. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So hesitation and procrastination, how many of us can relate to those two things?
Oh, not me.
In our every area of our life. Hesitation and procrastination are forms of doubt, holding on longer in order to delay applying spiritual principles.
Well, and to delay the work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Often do we do that? We come up with excuses. We have all these reasons why we don't have time, or people don't understand, or it's too hard, or whatever. And these are all just procrastination
techniques. Yeah, and this kind of idea goes with my definition of human insanity: stopping what you know works.
Yeah,
true. Right?
We stop consciously using the principles and then wonder why our lives are derailed. And we know it works better to use spiritual principles consciously, but yet we stop doing it in the busyness of our lives. We stop for some reason.
That is so funny because we do use them because we're dealing with issues and it works and our life gets better. And that's when we stop. It's like when we stop thinking we need it. And yet we could keep that level going up if we would just keep doing it.
Yes. Yeah, so you just reminded me of something I used to say in most classes. Most people are in more danger of losing their awareness of their divine nature when things are going well, rather than when things are going to hell.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know, and isn't that just ironic?
And that's a real aha. I hope people will take that one little piece, listeners, listen to that and really look at yourself and guilty. I mean, I've been guilty myself of this where all of a sudden I say, why did things start sliding? And it's like, first question, how's your spiritual life? How's your practice?
And so I'm sure you, I'm sure you saw this when you were leading your church, when I was way back in the last century helping run New Church of Overland Park. There were certain members we knew would disappear when their lives were going well. And when they would grace our doorways and show up, we were pretty sure there was some drama happening in their lives.
Yeah.
They go away, they forget the truth, or they quit applying it, and away they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, I got this now, I can leave.
Okay, it's time for us to pivot to the last part of our program, the Absolute Word, which can be found on my website, paulhasselbeck.com. And this Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And of course, this is Sunday message. This comes from October 28th, 2018. And the words were, in each moment, in each moment. And the affirmation is, I am grateful for the opportunities I find within each moment. I am grateful for the opportunities I find within each moment. Every moment exudes infinite possibility. I am grateful for the opportunities in my life today. Still, it is not always easy to remember the power of possibilities that lie within every moment when I give my attention to daily distractions. I turn within as I retreat from the external realm of my senses. I center my awareness in my divine entity, and I can only take action in this now moment. I am anchored in this moment. I appreciate all the opportunities available to me as I tune into this moment. I express the light and love of my infinite spiritual nature. Divine principles are within me and around me. They are the source of all I need. I relax into the peace of each powerful moment, and I joyfully affirm, I am grateful for the opportunities I find within each moment. Yeah, so this is that around that basic teaching, there is only the now. You know, what ifs don't exist, do they?
Sentence, I relax into the peace of each powerful moment.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, and if we could only remember that truth in teaching on a regular basis, especially when I'm getting wrapped up in the everyday drama that's going around me. So friends, that wraps another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. And of course, we are always grateful for your listening and tuning in. And of course, we enjoy your comments at bit.ly/MetaRomp. And Bill and Sherry, have anything to say?
Just, we're glad you're with us and come back to our table again.
Thank you, everybody. Make it a great week.